We're starting a two-week, I don't know if you can call 2 weeks a series, but a two-part sermon series on rest. And then I thought that was fitting because then I am taking the second part of my sabbatical after that. So Lawrence Filler, who's your church board secretary, he'll make an official announcement on the details of that next week. But essentially, I was awarded a sabbatical within this calendar year, last August to this July. And so they awarded me 6 weeks as a board, and indirectly you guys did through electing them. So thank you all for that. That's greatly appreciated. I took half of it last August, and I'll take the other half this July. So I'll be with you for two more weeks, and then I'll be without you for a few Sundays, and then I'll be back in action. And we'll miss you, but I will not miss my phone ringing, and I'm preaching to myself these next 2 weeks, and I really hope that it applies to you guys as well. So we're going to dive into rest and what that looks like in Scripture, and how different of a concept rest really is in our culture. But if you'd think with me, and I just put a generic one up there, you can go ahead and throw that picture up, Dale. If you think about your week on a piece of paper, and on the left side, you have all the things that you did this week, everything that you completed. And, you know, so mine, this wasn't mine, this is just a generic, you know, maybe this week you cleaned your garage and you went to a baseball game, or you coached one, you went to gymnastics or dance, and then you did laundry, you did dishes, you did meal prep, you maybe got your oil changed or got a haircut or went to the doctor or shopped for groceries, and maybe this weekend you went to some open house, graduation open houses, and maybe your kid had some piano lessons, or maybe you're doing something like that this week, and you got, you know, the list could go on and on and on down to, you know, I showered and brushed my teeth and got dressed, you know, all the things that we accomplish in a week as people. And then if you'd think that next picture, you think about all the things that maybe you would want to do or that would potentially bring you rest within your day. And so, you know, I could come up with a list. We all could. It would probably, Hawaii would be like at the top of that list, right, of like restful things that we could do. But attainable, everyday restful things is kind of what I'm talking about here. So the on the right, we'd have this list of, you know, maybe devotions and prayer, you know, would be at the top of those. That would give me rest and rejuvenation. And then maybe after that, it's read a book or take a walk or go to the gym and get some exercise, or maybe participate in some hobbies that you enjoy, or going to the movies, or a new recipe trying out, or going fishing or hiking, or maybe even just sitting in silence. Parents, that sounds really restful to me. Or maybe listening to a podcast or something. And now think about the list on the left and the list on the right. Now, the example one, there's no overlap. For me, you know, I get joy from watching my kids do things. So if I were to go to a kid's baseball game and a gymnastics or dance thing, that's going to be rest for me. You know, maybe the craziness to get there isn't so restful, but that part, you know, that would be some overlap. But look at this list and maybe think about yours in your head. What did you get to do that was restful? How much of the stuff on your right list was also on your left list? And then how many of those restful things did you actually get to do this week? Did you get to do enough of them? Or maybe just barely enough? Or maybe nowhere near enough? Or maybe you can't remember the last time you had a restful day. Reading the list on the right, doesn't it sound nice? Just if you close your eyes and you think about it, you would float off into this dreamlike state, and you'd be floating and, you know, feel like you're on a cloud, and then that reality of that left list comes flying back right at the next appointment or the next place you have to be. What if I told you that you had permission to rest? What if I told you you have permission to relax? You have permission to do some of the things on your right list. coming from me, that might not mean a whole lot because, frankly, I don't have any say in your life, right? I'm not an authority figure. I'm just a guy that talks in front of you sometimes, but I have no bearing on what you do or the decisions that you make or the things that you do. But what if I told you that God himself, the one who created you, who does have authority, not just over your life, but over this planet and the universe and anything else that he may have created. What if I told you that God gives you permission to rest? And not only does he give you permission to rest, but he commands it. And he actually commands that we rest. So our culture has a hard time as viewing rest important. You guys feel that? Our culture, it's a very hard to feel like rest is important in this society. I know I've traveled overseas a few times for mission trips and those sorts of things, and you get up and you work in the morning, and then you eat this big, giant lunch, and you're expecting to go right back to work, and everybody who lives there goes home for 2 hours and just takes a nap. And you're like, what are they doing? Like, we're here to work, right? We're here to get stuff done. No, rest is important, and that's what they're going to do. Our culture is not that way. We glorify busyness, right? If your schedule isn't full, you aren't taking full advantage of your life. If you don't have something going on, you're not taking advantage of the time that you have. Or even worse, we talk about it as laziness or not working hard enough. When people ask, how are you? A common response to that is busy, right? How are you guys? Well, we're busy. We're good, but it's busy. In the midst of our busy culture and life, we forget to rest, or rest gets pushed aside, or we forget or even don't understand the value of rest. And we forget that God has commanded us to rest, and he's actually designed us to rest. Go a couple nights without sleeping, you're not going to feel well, right? You'll start seeing things, and it gets really weird, right? It's not a fun time. We are designed to rest as people. So for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking at what the Bible has to say about rest. And here's the main point of the series. If you take nothing else, just listen to this. Don't get up and walk out, because there's more to talk about. But this is what we're getting at for these next 2 weeks. Rest is a gift from God for his glory and for our benefit. Rest is a gift from God for his glory and for our benefit. And today, we're going to talk about rest being a gift from God for God's glory. Then next week, we're going to talk about it for our benefit. So we're going to start out today in Exodus. The passage is on your screen. It says this, I'm getting ahead of myself. So we're going to talk about this story in Exodus, but a real quick backstory before we get started. So we talked about Moses last week for a little bit, but God has just freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. They've been born into slavery, and God is now establishing them as a nation. And so he's instructing them to how to live. He's giving all these laws about what to do and how to live, and all these festivals that they should be celebrating, and what kind of structures to worship in and build, and all these things. God is kind of telling the Israelites what to do because he's establishing them as a nation, as a free, as a independent nation, a people of God. And so God, in Exodus 31, he interrupts all these instructions to say this. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy.'" So God has given Israel all this responsibility and all this work and all these things to abide by, and then he pauses and he reminds them of the need for rest. So I don't know if you've ever been overloaded by a teacher or anything in school. Maybe if you've been to college and it's the day that you're reading through the syllabus and you're like, oh my goodness, this is a lot of stuff, right? I think that's how the Israelites kind of felt. They were getting bombarded with all these laws and rules and regulations, and God said, hey, by the way, just take a break every now and then as well. So God's given all this responsibility, and he reminds them to rest. And he uses a sort of funny word, and it's called Sabbath. And it's not necessarily the first one that I would pick for rest, right? But we're operating out of a text that is written in Hebrew. And so our word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, and it means to cease or desist. I like how that's defined. Cease or desist. I don't know. It gives it some authority. Have you ever heard of a cease and desist letter before? Yeah. So basically how that works is that, like, I really like the Colts, right? There's not been much to like as of late. It's okay. I still like them. If I, I can buy Colts gear as much as I want and wear it, but if I start making it or using, Colts players' pictures and then start selling it without the copyright or without permission from the Colts, I'm going to get a nice little cease and desist letter, right? And that means stop, or we're going to take all of your money in court, right? That's essentially what that means. It's cease and desist. It's authoritative. So the Sabbath just means to cease working. It's a day that you're not supposed to work. And that's in the week, right? That's every 7 days. So today we're going to talk about three ways that rest glorifies God. Three ways that rest glorifies God. The first one is observing the Sabbath draws our attention to God. Observing the Sabbath draws our attention to God. We're going to be, that passage we just read, it won't be on your screen, but it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy.'" So we observe the Sabbath. It draws our attention to God so that we may know that he is God. It's kind of a weird thing, right? Because the Israelites already know that God is God, right? They just witnessed all these miracles and were taken out of Egypt, out of slavery. I mean, they're well aware God is God. And for those of you here, I would imagine it's the same with you. You didn't wake up this morning and decide to come to church and then need someone to tell you, hey, did you know that God is God? Anybody need that this morning? I mean, we knew, right? We knew getting up and coming in and seeing the storm roll in. We knew that God was God already. It's a weird thing. So what is this? Take this break so that we know that God is God. The Sabbath is to serve as a reminder of who God is. The Sabbath serves as a reminder of who God is. It's to stop and draw our attention back to him. God is saying, once a week, you're going to interrupt your normal schedule and you're going to give me a day, and it's going to remind you of who I am. And I am the all-powerful God who created you, who loved you, who gave you freedom from slavery, who has provided for you. And this wasn't just a reminder to the Israelites. It's a reminder to the world around them, right? It's not just, I mean, you better believe these Israelites that are out there outside of Egypt, you better believe other nations have heard about this, right? That's not just a one country thing. Other people have heard what's going on. And so this Sabbath is to remind the Israelites of who God is, but also it's to remind other people. It talks about this holy part. I'm the Lord God that makes you holy. Holy just means set apart, right? Israel was to be holy or to be set apart from the world around them. So when the world is working away 7 days a week, Israel's taking a break and being reminded that God is God. This reminder was for the rest of the world, like I said, and if you think the world around didn't notice, I guarantee you they did, and I can prove it with, I don't know if it's one word, but one phrase, and that's Chick-fil-A. If you need it explained, we live in a culture, right, where everything's open all the time. COVID helped with that. That's one nice thing about COVID is, like, I think stores like close to clean and things now. They didn't used to, but it, you know, things were open 24/7 all the time, 365, and you have this one very successful chicken place, right? And every time you want that delicious chicken on a Sunday, you can't get it. Sorry, this is the Sabbath. We're not working today. And what is Chick-fil-A known as? It's the Lord's chicken, right? It is known widely as the Lord's chicken. I know it's kind of a joke, but the whole world knows that Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday. It's not a coincidence, right? It's to remind. I mean, it's because they're ingraining it in their business model for their employees to have a day to be reminded that God is still God, but also the rest of the world gets that reminder when their bellies are craving those chicken sandwiches, I guess. You don't think about it really unless you want it, but it is like the one place that you can't get the food you want on a Sunday. If we're being honest, it's easy to forget to rest, and it's easy to forget why we rest. It's easy to forget to rest, but it's also easy to forget why we rest. It's easy to let life's busyness draw our attention away from God. That's no different. Right? It's no different than what it was back then. And the Israelites' busyness was still very God-centric, right? It was based on laws. It was based on building a temple and figuring out things to do that would enhance this life centered around God. It's easy to let life's busyness just draw our attention away. God knows life is busy. You ever think about that? God knows that life is busy and hectic and chaotic, and that's why he set up the Sabbath. He set it up to draw us back to who he is and what he's done. When we need that break, when we crave that rest, it's not just physical, it's we are desiring, right, to be reminded of who God is and what he's done. Number two, the Sabbath is vital to our faith. The Sabbath is vital to our faith. So picking up where we left off in Exodus, we just read 12 and 13, picking up with 14 through 17. Gets a little crazy here, so just hang with me. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Harsh. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days' work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. All right, we get it, right? Pretty rough. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between the Israelites, or between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. I'm sure we're all hung up on the death thing, right? We'll just get that out of the way. Is that fair? Okay, let's talk about it. Whew. First off, sounds like a really good excuse next time your boss gets on you for resting. Right, so we can, if there were ever time to take scripture out of context and use it in our favor, I think this is the one. Sleeping on the job, sorry, just trying not to die, right? Don't mind me. Oh, if only, right? Don't say that at work. You'll get fired. Seriously, though, this death thing seems like a very harsh reaction. It seems like a pretty, okay, God, this is, you're overreacting here. But if you think about it as an Israelite in this context, this was their time with God. So at this point, God was residing in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. So whether it was in a tent or a built temple, God was there. This was the presence of God. And so if there's no Sabbath, there's no temple. If there's no temple, there's no God. And so an Israelite not observing the Sabbath basically said, I don't need God's presence, or I don't need you, God. And clearly an enslaved people that God just rescued, needed God. And so it's a much bigger deal than us just saying, oh, I'm going to skip church on Sunday, or I'm just going to rest today. I'm thankful for us in this age that we can experience the presence of God at any time because we live under the new covenant of grace. You guys understand that? We don't have to just come to church and light some thing on fire and make smoke and a sacrifice and all that stuff. We just get to have the presence of God within because we live under that covenant of grace. Jesus made that ultimate sacrifice so we could just be in the presence of God and God's Spirit could indwell in us. I don't believe God's heart, though, has changed on the Sabbath. I don't see anywhere in this new covenant that we have to die if we skip it, right? But I don't believe his heart has changed. I think the Sabbath is still vital to our faith. We need the Sabbath to focus our faith. We need the Sabbath to encourage our faith. We need the Sabbath to remind us of that presence in our lives, in God's presence in our lives, right? Our attention is drawn away so much by the busyness, and we possess the presence of God, right? It's kind of a big deal. We need the Sabbath to remind us that that presence of God is actually in our lives. Unfortunately, we don't take Sabbath very seriously. We fill up our schedules and we work too much and we do all the things that we're not supposed to do or not supposed to overwhelm ourselves, but God still does. He still takes the Sabbath very seriously. He has set it apart to draw us to Him and to bring Him glory. And number three, Sabbath isn't about obligation, it's about desiring God. Sabbath isn't about obligation, it's about desiring God. So we're going to jump way ahead to the New Testament or this new covenant that we're under, and we're going to see Jesus kind of dealing with this Sabbath issue here in Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. It says this: "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples walked along, and they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?' He answered, 'Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So Jesus and his disciples, we'll paraphrase here, were getting a snack, essentially, is what's happening. It's the Sabbath. They happen to be hungry. They're getting a snack. And so we see these Pharisees come along, and they decide to get legalistic with them. The law that was set in place was against farming, right? It wasn't against getting food. You could eat, right? It was against working, and the work that the Pharisees are referencing was farming. Jesus and his disciples were picking a few heads of grain to eat then, not to harvest. We understand? Okay, so they weren't really in the wrong. The Pharisees are just always trying to trap Jesus. I think of it this way. If I go home today and the weather holds up, and I decide to take a walk as part of my Sabbath today, and we pass all these raspberry bushes on our way to the woods, if I pick a few of those and eat them, right, I'm not breaking the Sabbath. I'm having a snack. And in fact, I don't need the snack, but in fact, that's giving and bringing rest, right? That's something that I would find very restful, and I would imagine you guys would as well, because I'm outside, I'm listening to nature, God's creation is all around me. It's not this act of work like the Pharisees are claiming it to be. So Jesus says the Sabbath was created for man, not man created for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was designed to be a blessing to us, not an obligation. right? It was designed to be this thing that revives us and reminds us of who God is and that He loves us and cares for us. Reminds us of who God is and what He's done in our lives. If we don't pause and draw our attention back and we don't desire to do that, our faith is going to grow stagnant. So not that this is this legalistic rule that we have to follow, right? That's what the Pharisees were dealing with. And when Jesus came, that's kind of where the Israelites were, especially the religious leaders or the pastors of that day. They were so hung up on the legalistics of stuff, on the rules to follow. The Sabbath is not a legalistic rule that we have to follow. If it's a rule, it becomes about us. Right? If it's a rule we have to follow, it's, oh, look what I did. I'm a good boy today. Or I'm a good boy this week. Look at me. Right? That's not what the Sabbath is about. That's not what God had in mind. It becomes about our wants and what we want to do if it's this rule that we have to follow. When the Sabbath is about remembering who God is, then our desire is to be with God and to grow deeper in relationship with Him. And when that's our desire, our faith grows deeper and deeper each week or each time we take Sabbath. So as your desire grows deeper, Sabbath becomes not a rule that you follow, but a priority in your life. And not just for your benefit, but for first, God's glory. Does that make sense? Explain that okay? All right. So I guess in closing, we've just got three questions to take with you this week. The first one is, how can you make room for Sabbath in your life this week? And I say that as Sabbath is like just cease working, right? Not necessarily be at church on Sunday on the Sabbath that we claim. It was Saturday for the Israelites, but that's neither here nor there. The presence of God is now within, right? How can I make room in my life for Sabbath this week? What can I do day to day throughout the week, maybe once a week, however it works out? How can I make room in my schedule to stop and to draw near to the presence of God within and to be reminded about the presence of God? The second question is there something in the busyness of your life that needs to be put aside to make room for the Sabbath? Something other than just TV, right? We can, you know, okay, I can sacrifice 30 minutes of TV to do something that's going to give me rest and remind me of who God is. Is there something bigger than that? Something that you're in that could be put aside, that could make room for Sabbath, for rest? And then the last question, does Sabbath feel to you like an obligation, or does it feel like a desire for God? Don't need to answer it now. Think about it this week. When I'm resting, when I'm thinking about taking Sabbath, taking a break, does it feel like it's, oh, I have to do this because God says I have to? Or does it feel like I really just want to stop and recognize who God is and be reminded of what God's done in my life? Sabbath is a gift from God for His glory and for our benefit. The Sabbath draws our attention back to God. It is vital to our faith, and it is desire, not obligation. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank You. Thank You for rest. We thank You for this gift that You've given us. Not the gift of laziness or excuses, but the gift of rest, of Sabbath, of stopping our work and leaning back into You and who You are. God, we're so thankful. We don't think about this enough in our culture. God, this is a counter-cultural opportunity for us as a people, as Your people. Help us to lean into that this week. Help us to become people of rest and people of Sabbath who are constantly being drawn back to You, our attention being taken away from busyness and back into You. Help remind us that it is vital to our faith. Our faith can't grow if we are not pausing and yielding to what You have for us. And God, help the Sabbath be a desire in our lives, desiring you, not an obligation, not a rule, not because we should or we feel like we need to, but a desire after your heart and a desire to truly get away from everything that could be distracting. Go with us as we leave this place today. Help us to be people of rest. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Worship team is going to sing. Our altars here are always open. If you're carrying a burden or just feel like you need to respond to what you've heard today, it's a great time to do that, and you're more than welcome to do that. But I just ask that you take this time and worship or reflect on the questions we went over, and just take a break. Draw your attention to who God is in these next 5 minutes. Stand, sing with us.